Seriously. I was impatient. All right. We'll see how this works. There we go. All righty. I think every time I've been asked to speak, there's this talk that I have with myself that happens usually about the week of the time I have to speak. And it's like, why on earth did I say yes? But, you know, the Lord did show me a lot of things. And it's almost comical, because when Bev said, I would like you to speak on contentment, or would you consider speaking on contentment? We had just had the mother-daughter retreat this summer, and I had Kathy Hoagland. Some of you know Kathy Hoagland. And Kathy said, I would really like to speak on contentment. And so when Bev mentioned that, I thought, oh my goodness, didn't I learn? What did I not learn that the Lord wants to reteach me? And I think there is a real truth in there, because until you teach it, we're slow learners. And the best way to learn something is to really study it for yourself, make it your own, make it personal between you and God, and do the hard part, do the hard work. So that's where we are today. And as this is constantly in progress, and I'm sure that contentment, that's how contentment ought to be. Contentment is a process, and it's something that we're not going to achieve and say, there, now I am content, because we're not made that way. We always want a little bit more, and it doesn't matter what you fill in the blank with. We want a little bit more. A little bit less sometimes, if we're talking about certain things. So let's talk about what contentment is and what contentment's not. Now, that card that I gave you, the teacher in me says, you ladies have an awful lot to give in this particular area. You've learned some lessons the hard way. You have some struggles, some things that you may want to share. So as we're talking, if there's some things that you would be willing to share with the group, I'd really appreciate you writing those down. Also, just some ideas to get us started here. I'd really like you to write a couple things down on your paper that would describe what a contented person looks like, how they act, what they look like, how you can tell a person is content. How can you tell when you're content? So maybe some adjectives that would describe that. And then I'd also like you to describe, maybe on a separate part, skip down a couple lines, what does a discontented person look like? When you're discontent, how do you feel? How do you look? What's going on in your life? So take just a minute and think about that and write something down. And as most of you have written down a couple things, and some of you are still busy writing, which is fine, go ahead and write. I would just like you to share some of the things that you put down. First of all, what does a contented person look like, act like? How do you know when you're content? How do you know when someone around you appears to be a contented person? All right, to comment, I have somebody at this table who'd be willing to share one of the things. Yes?
Thankfulness.
That's huge. When we're content, we are thankful. Very good. Somebody else at this table? And I appreciate our young ladies getting involved in that too. That's tremendous.
Content people are giving people.
Giving people. Sharing. Good. Somebody at the table back here? Yes.
Peace.
Peace. Anybody else at that table? Yes.
Praise.
Praise. Very good. Thankful and praise. Somebody here?
Trusting.
Trusting. That's huge. Somebody else at this table?
Yeah, focused on the task at hand.
Okay.
And ministering to others.
Good.
Don't spend a lot of time worrying.
Good. Worrying. Contentment and worrying don't seem to fit together. Somebody at the back table.
They already shared.
I know. That's the worst thing about being the last table. But I figured looking at this brain trust back here, surely we have some amazing ideas. So we have a pretty good idea. I'll tell you what, we'll start with discontent. We'll let you guys tell me. What did you write down for how you recognize that you're discontent or people around, not us, other people? How do you recognize it? Anybody? You look like, see, it's dangerous when you make eye contact. You all know, you were in school and we didn't want to answer you, don't look at the teacher.
I think about, I hit some of these things, but it down to that person, I would be, I know myself, I get worried and nervous. What in that sort of a nervous person.
Yeah.
Complaining.
Yeah. And you think alike, you share this idea. Yes,
when
I agree. Yeah.
I think of like rushed or hurried, like they can't just be.
And doesn't that seem to dovetail with nervousness and worry, rushing, yeah, complaining? Anybody else? Something, I think we all know what it looks like. It's not very pretty, especially when we see it in ourselves.
Like a dishonest, you're scheming, like always trying to get ahead and maybe not always using
I think it definitely can lead to this. And I think this is one of the reasons we should be so concerned about being personally discontent. Where is it going to lead us? Somebody else? Bev?
Her thought just kind of led to manipulating.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can definitely tell. I remember years ago an advertisement was, our milk comes from contented cows. You know, and they would show this cow was just happily chewing his cud, you know, doing what the Lord designed her to do. And I think that our countenance is so important. Somebody else, yes.
I think when you're discontented with yourself, you're more apt to look to others and see the fault things in them that really it's probably more you.
Doesn't comparing, that's the enemy of contentment, I think, when we compare. It doesn't, I mean, I'm listening to Mr. Fisher speaking, or doctor, is he doctor? He's probably doctor. When he's speaking up there, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, it would be nice to have three people who could carry a tune. But, you know, and it's really easy to start comparing and say, wait a minute, the Lord has given us a tiny group with a very cheerful spirit. I mean, we have, just focus on what the Lord has given you. Okay, and on those cards and with your pencils, as I talk, if there's some other things where you say, ooh, I wish you would have added this because this is such an important element to contentment. As I'm working through this, it just seems like every verse I open to, there's something about contentment connected to it. And so I'm sure I won't hit your favorite verse on contentment or your favorite illustration of contentment. So if I don't keep talking my whole time, I really would love to have some of you share. I want you to feel as you're participating in what's going on here today. So I would like you to start out by opening to Proverbs chapter 25. If you don't have your Bible with you, if yours is still upstairs in the pew, I noticed a couple up there. My husband tried to get me to leave my Bible up there, and it's like, I really am going to need my Bible. So Proverbs 25:20. I want to be really, really careful that I do not fall into this category. Now, Bev asked me, is there any way you think you can dovetail this with music? And I worked and worked and worked and couldn't come up with it. Well, then I realized this is not exactly where I wanted to go with it, but look at Proverbs 25:20. This is saying, don't always sing. 25:20, he that taketh away a garment in cold weather and is vinegar upon niter, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. You say, well, what does that have to do with contentment? Some of you are dealing with huge, huge burdens in your life. And the kind of burdens where if somebody says the wrong thing, you can just feel your heartstrings are being torn because this is such a huge issue. You know what it could be. And I want to be really careful that I don't treat this whole topic so lightly as well. You know, trust in the Lord and be content. Well, it really does boil down to that, but I don't want to be guilty of singing silly songs when your heart is burdened. Because I know my husband and I have had situations in our life where the burden has just felt so great and we're torn. Are we burdened? Are we content as we ought to be? And I don't want to underestimate what the Lord is doing in your life. So if I'm guilty of that, I apologize right now. And I'm going to try very carefully not to do that. When I was going through my study on contentment, this should be a lifelong study, because as soon as you feel you've reached contentment in one area, something else pops up. And I almost had you write down something in your life that you struggle with when it comes to contentment. And I thought, that's so very personal. Some of us, our husband doesn't even know what we struggle with, because it's between us and the Lord. And so I would not have you write that down. But you know what in your life Satan keeps bringing up and saying, wouldn't it be nice if, or don't you wish this could be? And I think Satan knows our weak spots. I have certain things that the Lord just keeps bringing up again and again and again, and I have to keep coming back to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me be content with your choice for my life. What is contentment not? First of all, we need to recognize, what is it not? Well, obviously, it's not discontentment. You ladies showed me this is what discontentment looks like, what it feels like. Do you like to have a friend who's often discontent? They kind of tend to tear you down. And I find that people who are discontent, they have a way of contagiously spreading their discontent. You might have been perfectly happy. I mean, it's a beautiful day. No, the sun's not shining, and I could focus on that. At least it wasn't when we left camp. But it was so neat to wake up at camp. Okay, another story. It's not discontentment. All right, enough said on that one. It's not covetous. So often we start comparing ourselves to whatever is around us, and it doesn't matter how tiny it is. It doesn't matter whether it's just the temperature. It's too cold. It's too hot. Whatever. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why should we not be discontent? Why should we not be covetous? Because the Lord says, I will never leave you. You don't have to be discontent about all these things around you. Contentment is not laziness. You say, wait a minute. How did you come up with that? Well, some people, I think they're almost afraid to be content with what the Lord's given them because they fear that it's going to be perceived as laziness. I mean, if I ask a student, are you satisfied with the work you did on this paper? What answer do I want? No, I'm not satisfied with that. I slopped it. I threw it together in 4 minutes and didn't even read the questions. That's the answer I want. And when you, as a mom, walk into your son's room and he's just cleaned his room and you say, Are you, that's a stupid question, because you know he's satisfied with it, because he came out and he said, I'm done cleaning my room. Yes, he's satisfied. I don't want him to be satisfied. I don't want him to be lazy. I don't want him to be complacent. I want him to say, no, Mom, I'm not satisfied because I didn't do a good enough job. So we need to recognize there are some places in our life where we should not be satisfied because God is not satisfied. Now, I've learned as a teacher, it's better to ask, do you think I'm going to accept this paper? As a mother, did you do what I expected you to do? Am I satisfied? And better yet, is God satisfied with the job that you did? So we have to be careful that sometimes we look at other people and say, well, you know, they're satisfied with what they have. It really seems like if they worked a little harder, if they spent a little more time doing what they should have done. So it's easy for us sometimes to look at contentment and misjudge it as either laziness or complacency. There are things that God expects us to be very concerned about in our ministry, things that need to change. And it's dangerous to just say, oh, well, it's good enough. Is God satisfied with it? I think that's a really important question to ask ourselves. Contentment, and this goes right along with that, contentment is not being satisfied with situations that are not what God has chosen for us. We need to ask ourselves, Lord, is this what you've chosen? Is this what I should be content with? Should I be satisfied with where I am in our situation? Because if we believe God has said, this is where I've put you, this is what I've provided you with, be satisfied. People around us can't always see what we believe God has told us. This is enough. This is where your satisfaction should be. So we need to determine, is this what God's chosen for me? It's also not being numb to the situations that need to change. Things in our own life we need to recognize. Is this something God wants me to change? Is this something God wants to help me change? We also need to, let's see, I wrote this really funny. Let me read it the way it is. It is not to be so great, our discontentment is not to be so great that it erases our yearning for what is to come, yearning for what God has in store for us. So yes, we're to be content where we are, but we're always to be looking forward to what God has that's better for us, what God has in the future. The plan that Paul a lot of times talked about, the yearning and the groaning within his soul. Does that mean he was discontent? No, he recognized God has something much greater for him that is in God's perfect plan. So enough of what it's not. What is it? What is contentment? Contentment is, first of all, and more than anything else, is recognizing God's sovereignty. This summer, when Kathy Hoagland was speaking, she brought that out. And when she first said it, I thought, that's too simplistic. And the more I studied, the more I realized, but that's what it is. It's recognizing God's sovereignty. And we're going to come back to this a number of times. Contentment is a command. And if you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, we've already talked about this when we said what it is not. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is enough. God is present. God is caring for us. He will not leave us. We may be lacking in things that we think we would like, but God is enough. Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:8 says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We so often, listen to the wrong messages. The world is constantly telling us it's not good enough, it's not big enough, it's not fast enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not tall enough, your neck's not long enough for this scarf. You know, I put this, it's so easy to be discontent and it just sneaks up on you all the time. Got up this morning and put on this scarf and, oh, I shouldn't have worn this tall neck because, you know, years ago I gave up my neck for two chins. And there's just barely enough room for a scarf in there. And I thought, wait a minute. Well, I'm not going to blame the Lord for the whole, all of that, but I can't just sit there and be discontent. It seems like the last couple of days the Lord kept throwing things in my path, and I realized, oh my goodness, all the computer technology in my classroom can make me discontent very quickly. Now, how about you? That can really push me over the edge. And then I'm driving here yesterday, and I knew I had just enough time to get here in time for the meal. And I get behind this guy pulling a trailer down this two-lane road, because everything between here and Willard is two lanes, and he's going 40 miles an hour. And I met him right just the other side of Shelby, which is halfway here. And I thought, okay, surely he's going to turn at, and I knew each intersection along the way. I thought, oh, he's got to be turning here. No, he's going to go to the campground. Oh, no, he's going to go to the Mid-Ohio. No, he pulled in about 3 miles down the road, turned the other way, which was a big relief. And it's like, oh, yes, thank you, Lord. And when he moved, I got about 2 miles down the road, and there's one of these million-dollar tractors that takes up the entire road, and he was going about 10. So, I mean, we so easily get discontent. We throw away our contentment so easily. And I kept trying to say, okay, Lord, I'm content. I know you have a plan, and this is part of your purpose, and this was no mistake. And that's hard, though. And we constantly have to be fighting. We constantly have to be asking the Lord, make me content.
Nancy,
yes.
Yes. But he says, you never know why God's stopping you or slowing you down.
And I think that's an important lesson. Realize the Lord may be protecting me from what's down the road. And that's just an excellent lesson to get into our head. A couple others that are similar to this, other verses. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. How easy it is to look at the man who's prospering. He's got a little more. He's got something a little bigger, a little faster, a little newer. And it's easy for us. And the Lord says, just rest in the Lord and wait patiently. And even the vehicle in front of you, be patient. Psalm 37:16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. How often we look at those around us and we say, well, they don't even love the Lord, and look at what the Lord has supplied them with. How easy it is, and Satan just throws this up. He knows our hearts, and he knows what affects us that way. Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And then Philippians 4:11, and I think this is another one. There's an awful lot in Philippians chapter 4, that keeps pointing us back to the Lord and pointing us back to just being content. But contentment is something we have to learn, and learning takes practice. We have to keep coming back to it again and again. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The Lord expects us not to get it right the first time, but he expects us to keep working toward it. I have learned. One of the translations that I was looking at says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatsoever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've learned the secret of contentment. And with that, I say, okay, let's point to the secret, and it comes back to the sovereignty of God. And we're going to touch that again here in a second. It's interesting that when Paul says, he's learned contentment. And then because of that, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says, I can be content. Did you realize that was connected with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? It's like the rest of the sentence, practically. In every one of our needs, God will supply. Contentment is being satisfied that God is enough. That's a huge word, enough. And we're so seldom satisfied with enough. It's more, we want more. Hebrews 13:5, be content with such things as ye have. God's going to give you what you need. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord knows the need of your heart. The Lord knows the needs of your body. The Lord knows the needs of your family. The Lord knows the needs of your church. And he will supply. If the Lord hasn't given it to you, you don't need it yet. You may not need it at all. And we always need to be asking ourselves, Lord, is this a desire that you have for me? Because the Lord does put desires in our heart because he wants to turn our attention to him. And we have to be very careful. Is this my desire or is this the Lord's desire? I remember when we were first married, 6 years we had no children. And that is a desire that is just, it can be really overwhelming. And I think that my husband and I often prayed, we said, Lord, if this is your plan for us, don't give us children. Help us to be satisfied. Or if you would choose to have us adopt, you know, make that really clear to us. But our prayer was always, Lord, if this is not your will, teach us to be content. Through doctors, we learned that I had a situation that needed surgery. And having surgery there was some percent of chance, they always tell you what percent, I don't know how they figure that out, that we might be able to have children. I don't know about this. My phone is buzzing here. I'm trying to ignore it. twice since I've been here. It's always. Anyhow, we prayed about this. Lord, do you want us to do this? Are we trusting you or are we running ahead of you? And our prayer at the time was, Lord, we believe you've brought us to this world-class doctor who is, actually, he was going around the world showing to other people around the world the surgery that he had to do on me because it was kind of unusual. And we prayed and we said, we believe the Lord had brought us to him. We said, Lord, if you don't want us to have children, we pray that you'll let us go through this surgery and not give us children. If our children are not going to glorify your name, if they're not going to be pleasing to you, Lord, we pray that you would not let this work and teach us contentment. Those are hard prayers. And every time somebody else around us, young unmarried girl in the church, ends up pregnant, you know, the Lord says, whoa, look at that. And not the Lord says that. I'm sorry. I did not mean that. But the Satan has a way of keep the thing that is closest to your heart. Satan keeps bringing up, and you have to struggle with it constantly. So it's something learned, it's something to be practiced, and it's learning the secret, learning that God is enough. Whether we have that thing we want more than anything in the world or not. The Lord has used, I believe, that situation to help me really understand others that are going through that similar situation, because that's a hard one. And losing a child through a miscarriage. The Lord put us in a church where we have women who have lost children very, very early in their life, or miscarriage, or actually days before they should have been delivered, standing at the graveside when we're putting a little box the size of a sewing machine in the ground. It tears your heart, but I believe the Lord has used that in my life to be able to be, to have the compassion. That wasn't my choice. That wasn't what I would have asked the Lord for, but I think the Lord taught me to be content with his choice, because he was going to use that and let me be a blessing to the other people that the Lord's asked us to minister to. Recognize, again, God's sovereignty. We need to recognize, if God is the master of the universe, who he is, God is our master of the universe, has loved us so much that he gave his son to provide a plan for our salvation, that we could be with him for eternity. Will not this same God make sure that we have what he deems we need? In that, we can truly be content. You know, the Lord has called my husband and myself to this tiny church. It's so easy to look around at other churches and say, oh, Lord, you know, if we had a church that was just a little bigger, you know, it would be really nice. Just think of all the things that we could do. It's easy to think that, but you know what? The Lord has given us just some really interesting opportunities, and he's given us a small group of people who just, they really love the Lord, and he's given us a love for them that really passes human understanding. My husband recently has asked the Lord, he said, Lord, send us people. Send us, you know, from the byways and the highways, you know, the dregs of the earth, send us those who really need you as Savior. And the Lord is answering that in almost scary ways. It's interesting, the people the Lord has sent us. And without going into too many details, the Lord sent us, let me just preface it with this. In the last 2 months, my husband's been able to lead 3 people to the Lord that the Lord has sent, who really qualify in that category. I mean, we have some hard situations. People who are struggling with heroin addiction, people who have had run-ins with the law. We've had some very interesting people. We have one of our men who's been in the church, this is a couple years back, he's in prison right now. He's in his second year, I think, of a 5-year sentence. My husband's been to court a number of times with our people because of issues. The Lord sent us a man who, before the Lord sent us to us, he has, I forget what it's called, he can't have a fire, he can't have a gun in his house. When my husband went to visit with this man many times and early in our ministry, I was scared. I really was. He would go visit with the man, and I would be praying, Lord, keep him safe. Let him come home again alive. But this is what the Lord has chosen for us. And let me tell you the exciting part of that one. I mean, this man, and he had a very bad reputation in town in a number of ways. The Lord has really worked with that man. My husband has a Bible study with him, has had this going on for like 3 years. Started a Bible study with these new people who have accepted the Lord as their Savior. The Lord has done exciting things through that man, the man that we'd say, Lord, you know, I'm scared. My husband would come home and I'd wash his clothes. Seriously. The Lord has used that man to bring in, we have kids in our Sunday school again. We had a period we had 0 kids in Sunday school. These people who've just recently got saved directly link back to him and his now wife. So the Lord has used these strange situations. Is this what I would have chosen? Is this what I dreamed that the Lord would call us to? No. Am I content? Yes, the Lord has given us a love for where we are and a contentment in a very tiny ministry. So, am I always content? No. No. This is a constant struggle and something we're constantly working at. But recognize the Lord is sovereign. The Lord has a purpose in where we are. The Lord has a purpose in my life every day as he does in yours. Are we accepting God's sovereignty? Only after we accept God's sovereignty over the circumstances that we cannot change will we find genuine contentment. If the Lord doesn't expect us to change him, we need to recognize he's sovereign. When we're not content, we're saying God is not enough to satisfy our needs. Just talk to yourself about that. Say, Lord, am I saying that you're not enough? Yes, every time we're not content with God's will for our life, we are saying God is not enough. God doesn't know what he's doing in this situation. I'm going to share a couple last things with you. When I was younger, I had one life verse. Now mine's a little different, but I still love these verses. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches by the glory of Christ Jesus. God will supply your needs. He's sovereign. He will supply. If he hasn't given it to you, you don't need it. If it's something that you believe the Lord wants you to be praying about, the Lord wants you to work toward, then you need to ask the Lord to convict you that that's what the Lord does have for you. All right, the other one, this is my more current verse, if it's a life verse. I just keep coming back to it constantly. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. If I want to understand contentment, I need to know the Holy One. I need to know the Lord. I need to recognize his sovereignty. When I don't know, you know, is this contentment? Is this laziness? Is this complacency? Where am I? Is this something God wants me to change? Is this something God wants me to be satisfied with? The secret of it is the knowledge of the Holy. When we know who God is, when we understand more of his character, the Lord is going to make those things clear to us. One final thing, this is another thing Kathy brought up at our mother-daughter. Amy Carmichael. And those of you who've taught Bible Club and whatever, you know this story. You've read the missionary story of Amy Carmichael. And I've always just been so blessed by this. When Amy was young, she had red hair and she had brown eyes. And everybody else around her family had green eyes. And she just thought her brown eyes were just so boring. Just really boring. And she would sit and look in the mirror and be discontent with what God had done in her life. And I believe she even asked the Lord to change her eyes from brown to green, which of course did not happen. And that was just a matter of, you say, well, that's just childish discontent. But when she grew up, among other things and among other places that she served in India. And she found that there were many young girls who were forced into temple slavery. And she wanted to take these young girls, adopt them and raise them, well, I don't think she adopted them, but raise them in a type of orphanage and protect them from the awful life that they were in. Well, to do that, she would cover her up her hair so nobody could see it, which was the headdress, it was common. And she would take tea bags and she'd cover any skin that was showing so that her skin looked darker like the people around her. And all the people could see when she walked through the streets of India, were her brown eyes and her dark, darkened skin. Had she had green eyes, she probably never would have gotten away with that. And she realized way back in her childish discontent, the Lord had a plan and a purpose for exactly where he was going to put her. And I think most of our discontent is very childish discontent. not much different than saying, I wish I had a different colored eyes. It's not what the Lord has for us. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me be satisfied with who you are and what you've given. And I'm going to ask you ladies to share for a few minutes. I've taken up a lot of time, but I have a little bit left. Did you write something down that you feel is something that would be a valuable addition to contentment that the Lord's taught you? Some struggles that we have that you've recognized, oh, this is something the Lord would like to do in my life.
Why is this not happening? And then it turns into something that you start having the wrong attitude about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize a year or two later that it's just a way to don't think you don't need to look for this part.
Right. A lot of times it's not God's time. We're asking things that we believe the Lord really wants, but it's not God's time.
Okay. Same thing, I think, with our children or our grandchildren. You know, we've been through difficult times and we've seen God answer prayer. But when your children are struggling and going through a difficult time, mm-hmm. and you see them wanting to do right, you see them praying, searching the Lord, Lord, show us, we just want to do what you want us to do. And you know, and then it's being able to trust the Lord, the contentment of giving this to the Lord and trusting him fully, where you have no say, nothing you can do to help except pray. I mean, it's all about prayer and trusting the Lord. That's a struggle, I think, that I have, is when you see your children struggling to do what's right,
mm-hmm.
seeking God, and the situation is like, okay, Lord,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be out in Timbuktu without anything if you don't answer prayer here.
Don't you find, too, as a pastor or as a wife, it's harder for me to see what I believe the Lord wants for my husband when I feel he's not being treated right? I have a harder time with that than if somebody treats me in a way that I don't feel is right. There's just this, I don't know, it's Mama Grizzly. But my kids, yes, my kids and my husband, my loved one. Anybody else? All right, we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. I think the men are walking around probably wondering, are those ladies ever going to quit? Heavenly Father, teach us to recognize that you are sovereign, that you have our best interest in need, that you love us, that you give us all things that are within your will. Teach us that trust, that contentment. Make us a joy and a blessing to those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.